Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Good morning to my co-host and brother, Professor Terry Benjamin. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How you doing? I'm fine. I tell you, another great morning. I know it.
Yeah, well, I know. We got to get right into this topic today because there is so much to say. But before I do that, I want to absolutely welcome and thank each and every listener that is tuned in today. I know you're typically not used to Professor Terry being here on Thursday, but because of Tuesday, with so much powerful, helpful information of talking about how to become a new man and stop being a cheating man. And we know that that broadcast is going to get so many hits. People are going to be passing it along to their brothers, their cousins, their nephews, their uncles, their fathers, their grandfathers. And ladies, it is up to us. We must get this in the hands of individuals who need to see it. In other words, it may be hard for, let's just say if you are a wife, it may be hard to get your husband, or if you have a boyfriend or a significant other, you may not be able to get them to listen to this, but sisters, you have a lot of pull and impact over your brothers. Mothers, you have a significant power, not power, but a significant place with your sons that you can get them to listen. Aunts, same thing. Your nephews, you can get them. So we got to help out here. It's our job, I believe, it's our job to kind of push this envelope. Because in some respect, especially for some of us, we were there when they were little, and we didn't tell them then. So we got to build their confidence now. So welcome. Thank you for tuning in to this morning and every morning. Whether you're in the chat room, you'll go back and listen to the archives, or whether you will be on the phone lines. But the topic that we're, you know, taking over from Monday, there's a book out that's by Max Billion and Superstar RJ, their new book, Death of the Cheating Man, What Every Woman Must Know About Men Who Stray. Now, I know that topic says a lot, but on the Book by Book Success Project, Professor Terry Benjamin brought this book to us, and he began to explain it and talk from this book, and it has a lot more to say. So, Brother Terry, at this moment, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you run with some more important details about this book.
Thank you. I plan to do that. I guess the biggest thing we have to realize that it's all about change. I mean, you know, you can't change one thing unless you have something to replace it with. I think a lot of times men get in trouble because they want to stop cheating. They do stop cheating, but they have nothing else to replace it with. And this book is so good because it gives us a problem, but it also gives us solutions. It's entitled Death of the Cheating Man, What Every Woman Must Know About Men Who Stray. And this is from Maxwell Billion and Ray J. And the thing that I like about it is the fact that, again, it proposes a problem, but it also proposes a solution. And I guess, really, to get right into it, I just want to quote from the book, and then I want to give you six virtues of the new man. This is six ways that the new man should look and conduct himself. So from the book here, and this is from page 115, and I quote, "Change of any kind requires attaining a new set of fundamentals that we can use to achieve our aspirations. For men, making the change from being a cheater also requires an education on how to acquire new fundamentals that can reshape our thinking." End of quote. And these are the six virtues of the new man. Number one, he strengthens his internal voice, that is, the dialogue between the good guy versus the bad guy that is going on in the minds of all men. Number two, establishing your consequence mechanism. Okay? Understand that actions have consequences. And these consequences may mean you might lose your wife, you may lose your home, you may lose your health, you may lose your finances, you may also face a lawsuit. So there are some serious consequences, but we have to establish those consequences, number two. Number three, we must build self-restraint. I mean, there are a lot of things out there that we can do, we get involved in, a lot of women who are more than willing to cheat with us, but we have to restrain ourselves, okay? Again, like I said, it's one, two, three, number four, knowing your limitations, okay? Most men think they can handle anything, but, you know, you have to understand that there are limitations. You don't go to a place where there's a whole lot of single women and expect to be faithful. You have to really know your limitations and stay away from that kind of thing. Okay, so we're talking about one, two, three, four. Number four, be honest with yourself. And it says here, once a man has built up his internal voice, he has to learn to submit to it. That starts with acceptance that just because we're men doesn't mean that it's our birthright to have as many women as we want, when we want and how we want. And then it goes on to the whole discussion about how men think it's manly to have a lot of women. Number five, become a thinking man. And Maxwell says here, you can teach people what to think and make them dependent, or you can teach people how to think and make them independent thinkers. Again, becoming a thinking man. And number six, exercise your virtues. And they go on to say in the book here, begin to view your daily living as a sport. Understanding that to become great at any sport, it takes time and practice. You don't go shooting or three-pointers or even free throws. You must stand the line and practice every aspect of your shot. And this is the thing with education. Many people have knowledge, but they don't have education because they don't take that knowledge and apply it. And so I hope this book is a book that people will buy and also that they will apply, because we know a lot of things, but unless we practice these things, it's almost worth it. And the thing with the cheating, the reason why it's so prevalent is because wives and girlfriends many times don't give men a forum like a forum that I have right here to express their feelings. And so many men are locked into themselves because they don't know how to express themselves in a way that a woman would really appreciate. And this one last thing I want to mention. We talked about the six virtues of the new man, but I want to talk about and just throw out this again, the five virtues of a woman every man wants. Okay, men have in their mind the ideal woman, as women have in their mind the ideal man. But for a man, the ideal woman is a woman who has these five virtues. And I'm just going to state them and just put them out there. The five virtues of a woman every man wants. Number one, friendship. A man wants to be able to tell his woman anything without judgment. Okay? We have to create a space with a man where he can talk to you about his real desires. You know, don't cut him off. It might sound what he's saying is crazy. But let us talk like we let you talk. Let us talk. Let us know we have that friendship within you. That's the first virtue. Number two, acceptance. Acceptance. Accept us for who we are. Now, it says here, many of us stay in those relationships because we've been convinced ourselves that all women are the same. So instead of looking for someone else, we stay and hide the truth. Women can sense when men aren't being completely transparent but haven't yet made the necessary adjustment to get us to open up. Okay, we want you to open up. We want to share our inner lives with you, but we have to feel that we're accepted. Friendship, acceptance, and loyalty. Okay, I've seen so many women, you know, down their husbands in the company of their friends, of their women friends, you know, talk about he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. You know, that's not being loyal. We need a woman who is loyal to us, okay? You know, a lot of times they talk about that ride or die chick, that woman is with us no matter what. And again, we need that to the sense that in file analysis, you may be a husband, you may be a wife, but that's just one of the functions that you serve. You are a human being, and as a human being, we need each other, and because when the kids go, when all the responsibilities are lessened, we have each other. That's why the loyalty is so important. Friendship, acceptance, loyalty. Then we have number four, femininity. Okay, femininity. And it says here, there was once a time when women took pride in staying far away from anything that made them resemble men. Our clothing, hair, speech, and attributes that were masculine off limits to women, and they revealed in their femininity. Lady, we want you to be feminine. We want you to be what we're not, you know. And that's why that femininity, sometimes people think it's old school, but it's important. I mean, ladies, you can't wear jeans all the time and really expect to be seen as feminine. And number five, and I think this is very, very important, sex appeal. So many women make mistakes that sex means sex appeal. It doesn't, and we should note the difference. Sex is an act that stems from the desire to share physical intimacy with another person. Having sex appeal is a whole other thing, and it doesn't always mean sex. A woman can be sexy by doing nothing at all. For some, simply standing there is sexy enough. And I just want to end with this here. It says here, this is from the book, I remember seeing the way Michelle Obama looked at Barack the night he won the presidency. Her eyes said it all. She was proud of him and proud of herself because they had achieved something together. At the end of the night, his walk carried a swagger that didn't just say, hey, look at me, I just won the presidency, but it also said that his wife was his number one fan. Now, that's sexy, end of quote. And so, again, ladies, you know, you attract a man, but you got to keep on attracting us. And same thing with men. You know, I see so many men walking around with the big belly, you know, and they look like they're pregnant and whatnot. I mean, hey, you didn't look that way when you met her. And so, therefore, we got to be careful about how we let ourselves go. I mean, aging is a situation and it's a challenge, but we don't have to suffer the things that, you know, that sort of bring us down. We need to take hold of ourselves, and that's why this book-by-book project is so important, because we're really about the business of shaping minds and shaping conversations and shaping futures, because there's no way in the world that we can keep on doing what we're doing and expect a better future. It's not going to happen. I've seen so many marriages, relationships destroyed because of cheating, you know, and I'm here to say that, you know, it's something that we have to really get control of if we want to have a bright future, if we want to have the families and communities that I know that we deserve. So, again, you can say this is offered as a public service to those who are conscious of the situation. And those who are not conscious, they really have to get on board because, again, this is something that is across the board. It's black, white, it's Hispanic, it's Asian, it's worldwide. It's a problem. It's like a cancer that's eroding our best selves. And I like what Joel Austin says in many of his books, you know, it's time to live our best life now. Not tomorrow, not in the future, but right now at this moment. And this is why we offer this particular book and we entertain this particular discussion. Hello.
Oh, yeah, there's a little, I heard, okay. Yes, there is a, like you said, a family announcement, so to speak. We need to get our communities back home again. This is a great opportunity to bring the family together to teach women what to expect, how to conduct ourselves. Men, certainly, they want help, and some of them don't want it, but they know they need it.
Yes.
And these types of discussions have to go forth. You gave those six virtues of the new man. I'm sure that this will be utilized. I'm hearing a little feedback, so I don't know if that's our phone, maybe your sister. It's like a pain.
Hold on.
Okay. Okay, so I'll just put him on mute there for a minute until he gets that straightened out, and then I'll bring him back on, but he is still on with us. That's Professor Terry Benjamin. For those of you who don't know, he is our regular Tuesday morning host with the Book by Book Success Project, where he introduces a new book each and every week. And this book that he's chosen to introduce this week, all of the books are to help us and to grow us and to expand us personally, spiritually, professionally. This particular book was chosen to help expand the family and our relationships, our communities. If we know as so goes the family, so goes the community. So goes the community, so goes the wider society. So if we want to get the society looking better, we got to get back to the root cause. How the society, a society is nothing without its family. So we got to get the family together before we start coming up with all these grandiose ideas about fixing social problems. Even the prisons know that. Even the prisons know, the good ones, who want to do it right, their main focus is on the inmate having a family atmosphere. They know that that's why those individuals are in there for the most part. There was some sort of a breakdown in the family. And not only that, even if it wasn't, they know that if the person is going to leave prison and not come back, they have to be attached to something very powerful, and there's nothing more powerful than the family.
Yep,
and that's why the enemy wants to destroy the family any way they can, because they know once you take down the head of the household, being the man, once you take down that, once you destroy God's order, you're subject to anything. And so we have to, those believers, those of us who know the truth, truth will set you free. We have to come and build this thing back up, one relationship at a time, one man at a time. And we have to, just like when they go out and fight against breast cancer, or they go out and fight against domestic violence or trafficking, we have to fight this thing for these cheating men. Not saying women don't cheat, but that's another book.
Yeah,
maybe Maximilian's wife will write the cheating woman and how to fix it.
But again, you have to understand that if you're not aware of the problem and the way we're talking about it, you can get sort of sucked into anything. And that's why a lot of times we have men who seem to be very upright, and then they find themselves in a position where they are a cheating. Understand, it's a situation. Oh. If you don't know better, you can't do better. Now, that's the thing.
Well, look at General Petraeus. I mean, person at the highest level almost, you know, and certainly in the military, but even in his profession, the CIA. Here's a person, and then to be involved in what it appeared to be not one situation, but possibly more than one, multiple. So it escapes no one, okay? And the reason why, of course, there's some of the reasons they're saying that he had to come out and tell this is because of his high ranking. And I know part of that to be true just from my little military time. The higher your rank was, the harder your sentence was, the harder they were going to deal with you. You could do the exact same crime. If you were an E5, you could do the exact same thing as an E1. But your punishment was going to be 5 times greater because they feel that you're in a leadership position and that you're damaging everybody under you. So people might say, well, why did he have to tell that? He had to. He didn't have a choice because his whole military training he's sentenced other people, okay, for things, and he had to suffer the same fate. And he had to come clean about that and take his punishment. Well, he didn't take it fully, but...
he'll get his. But I think one of the things people have to understand about that situation, and it's so interesting because when the former President Clinton was going through his situation with infidelity, he was being given advice, given counsel by Reverend Jesse Jackson. And the funny thing about that, and that's what's funny but ironic, is the fact that the woman that he Petraeus cheated with was a woman who was writing his biography. So they spent a lot of time together. And women have to understand, men, believe it or not, men like to talk about themselves. They like to talk about their accomplishments. They like to talk about what they're thinking and whatnot. And many times, because of our busy lifestyles, that men and women don't take that time to just sit and talk with each other. And what happens, you get a young woman who is interviewing you about your life and asks you all the questions. You get a chance to speak to this woman, and you spend time with this woman. And what happens, this appreciation develops. Now, Reverend Jesse Jackson was counseling Bill Clinton, not realizing that, as we found later, that Jesse Jackson was in a situation where he was being interviewed by a woman for a book on his life. And he had an affair with this woman, you know? And so what happens is almost like a cycle. I mean, men love attention. I think women don't understand how much men are peacocks, how much we like attention, how much we need attention. And for some men, I mean, I've been fortunate in the fact that, I mean, every day I get a chance to be on stage. Not all men have that opportunity. And when they get it, it's sometimes so rare and it's so delicious because this, especially if it's a young woman, we realize that as we look at women and we look at our wives, we've been married for a long time, our wives are middle age, you know? I mean, they're still beautiful, but they're not as beautiful at 40 or 50 or 60 as they were at 20. So therefore, we have to make allowances, you know, because we look at the interview. But understand, there's a lot of women out here, a lot of young women who are just discovering their female power. And you get a young woman with an older man, I mean, alone, that's dynamite. And that's why men have to really learn how to exercise restraint. Also, they have to learn their limitations. I don't put myself in a position to be around a whole lot of young women, okay? Because I know that is a potential for disaster. And, you know, and again, they said, you know, and you got to understand your limitations is not being weak, but, you know, sometimes they say in the Bible that pride goes before a fall. And so you be prideful, so I can handle it, and you find yourself falling. And sometimes, you know, with the cheating thing, when you fall and you might not be able to get up, because even if you are forgiven, women like to say, you know, I forgive you, but I never forget. And sometimes that not forgetting can erode a relationship. And my question always is, you know, as I look at my life and my situation and the temptations that I face, I ask myself, is it worth it? Is it worth it losing all that I have for really a few moments of pleasure? You know? And again, so again, I think men, when they become mature, they look at the consequences, and that stops them more so than anything else. Not that the opportunities are not there, but you know what? We do not want to suffer the consequences, you know, whatever they may be, you know. Again, I think that is a mark of maturity.
Well, like in the book, you were saying how they had discussed that when you are a woman who has that mindset, that confidence, that he would be foolish to cheat on me because you're in your spot. You have your thing together. You are presenting yourself properly, and you care about this man, and you come to broadcast like this, and you learn some of the tools and strategies, because this is not stuff that mama taught us or grandma us or anybody else for that matter. And so in terms of talking about that, listening to your husband, listening to your spouse, I know for me that was a big problem because I like to talk. So I was in my marriage in the first 10 years, I was the one guiding and leading most of the conversation. So much so, I was foolish enough to think, oh, my husband doesn't really like to talk that much.
Oh, my goodness. That's classic. Wow.
I did that for 9 years until I ended up in this very bad spot in my marriage. Well, know about Professor Terry because I talked to you about it. And that was.
I remember that.
Could have been a spot of vulnerability for me. And you being there at the college and me coming to speak with you. However, you know, I can't say at the time that I was so grounded, but I knew God had a plan for us. And so he allowed me to do certain things. But I'm saying all that to say that after, and we even went into that separation for a whole year, me and my husband. But when I came out of it and we got back together, but while we were separated, I picked up a couple of books about relationships. It was like I didn't read those books beforehand, didn't read it during the first 10 years of the marriage, but during the separation, I picked up books about relationship. And one of the books led me to a woman's website who talked about, she has a website called How to Ignite Your Marriage or something like that. And she has a piece where she talks about why men cheat. And she said in her research or her information she was putting out there that this very thing about the talking, she said men cheat because these other women, she said it's not because of money, it's not because of sex for the most part. That does part of it, she said. But the main reason is that these other women will listen to them. And she went on to describe scenarios. She was like a marriage psychologist, and so she had dealt with all these. She had dealt with all these couples. So, and for those of you in the chat room, you have 90 seconds if you want to dial in to finish listening, 347-945-7991. But I just wanted to finish up my thought on that. But she gave all those scenarios, and so I thought, well, let me, you know, try it. It made a lot of sense. And then I thought about my own situation where I'm the one doing most of the talking. He doesn't like to talk. Well, tried it out. I took her advice that don't worry if right away he doesn't start talking because he's so used to you doing it. He's not aware of what you're doing, and he may not open up right away because he's used to not being allowed to say anything. And she teaches you how to kind of draw things out of him. Well, sure enough, I tried it, and it works. Now, know him to be the opposite. He is such a talker. All those years, what I realized is that he was talking to someone else. I don't know who. I don't know if it led to sex, but I do know he was talking to someone else because there was no way a person could have all that conversation inside of them and just keep it bottled up for 9 long years. Mm-hmm. He had It's somewhere. So some people wonder, well, why does my husband go out to the bar so much? Why does he go to the golf course so much? Why does, well, in some of these places, he's talking when he's there. That's why he's attracted to going to that place.
Oh, man. That is so good, and it's so funny because, you know, a lot of women consider themselves good girls, and it's the bad girls that take their husbands. But I want to share this from the book really quickly because, again, I mean, I think we got to have a balance of bad girls and good girls. It says here from the book, bad girls know how to have fun, and good girls know how to have one man, that is. When it comes to giving a man what he wants, there is no substitution for loyalty. It is the number one desired attribute in a woman on every man's list, and it can be the glue that holds together relationships that have come apart in other areas. And plainly speaking, no woman should expect a man to stay faithful or committed if he can't trust that she's also 100% loyal. Without a loyal woman, a man can't truly have peace of mind. His head becomes perpetually consumed by thoughts of his woman's possible infidelity when he should be focused on building a relationship. And no peace means no success. So we got to have a place. We have to have a haven from this crazy world. When I come home, sometimes I'm running to get home, okay, because I know I have a friend. I know I have a partner. I know I have a wife. I know I have a lover. I know I have someone who has got my back, you know, and I don't have to find it outside. But, again, women have to understand that, you know what, give us men a time to open up because we want to. We just look for opportunity, but we have to trust you 100% to do that because, again, when we open up like that, ladies, we are so vulnerable, and for many men, it's an uncomfortable place. Mm-hmm. So we don't like to be there, but you know what? The breakthrough can only come through that type of vulnerability. So, again, you know, please can continue to let your husband and talk and express himself. And as men mature, they're going to realize that this is really good for them as well.
Sure, and it's little simple things that, you know, you can do to let them talk. Just what I did was simply said to him, oh, how was your day? Initially, they may say, it was okay. They may not get into a discussion about it. So, ladies, you have to kind of lead the way. Oh, well, what happened? What did you do? How did it go? How was work? If you know any people on his job, you can begin to ask them questions. And especially if you've been around some of these people, you can say, oh, what did so-and-so say today? She's so crazy, you know, like that, or he or whatever. You get them to start talking because, again, if you haven't done it for a while, such as was in my case, a whole 10 years almost, they're like thinking something's wrong with you. So you have to let them know, guess what? I really want to listen to you. Because, again, he has been probably for those past so many years telling all that stuff to some other woman, not necessarily another man, because men talk to men about different stuff than what they will talk to a woman. I found that out. So he's been talking to some woman, whether it's the woman in the bar, on the job, in the car, at church, in the parking lot, somewhere, he is telling her some pretty intimate stuff about himself. Not anything, you know, necessarily has to do with sexuality, intimacy, but just things like, oh, I'm having a great day, I'm having a bad day, oh, my hip is hurting, whatever the case might be. But you want him to start discussing. Now, I even allow my husband to talk to me about sports. At first, don't you dare talk to me about, you know, sports or how to fix the oven. Oh, tell me all about how hard it was for you to go to Home Depot and find a wrench, you know. And even
I think that what you have to understand, and I know that you understand it, is the fact that men and women communicate differently. You get with a group of women, and then the first thing that's about their vulnerabilities. You get with a group of men, and the first thing they talk about is their accomplishments. We don't want to show other men our vulnerabilities. We don't want to show other men when we sort of fall down on the job unless we know these men very, very, very well.
But here's another point.
Becomes so important for men because we compete with each other. But you know what? After we compete, we let our guard down, okay? Then we can
talk
about
another
thing, but it's important.
I just wanted to get this last point in about these men. Because even if he's still having that conversation with another woman because he's so used to it and she's used to it, so when he gets to work, she's already got her list of stuff to say. Here's the thing. she no longer has a one up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself, I believe, can diffuse his thinking that this person is different. Because now, with you, he has the good sex, he can get a good meal, and now he can even get a good conversation. Now you're the woman with the history. So now this other woman, see, before, if you have the good, you're good in bed with your husband, you all have dinner, you can cook or take him out or whatever the situation is. You raise the children, you've got history, but you didn't have conversation. You had a key piece of a relationship missing, and so the other person, even though she may not look better, she may not have a better income, she may not have a better education, but she has a one-up on the other woman. So what I'm saying is that's what I experience and have seen, that you get a one-up when you allow him to talk and you listen and just follow.
Yeah, because, you know, men on the most part are lazy. We don't want to be running here and there and everywhere. You know, and the older you get, the less you want to do that. So you want a place where you can come and, you know, it's almost like a one-stop center. Okay, I go to this one place and everything I need is supplied. I mean, I don't want to go here and there and everywhere because most men don't like to shop. I don't like to shop. My wife asked me, there was a Black Friday in my house. I had some guests over. And I told him, I said, I don't go to Black Friday because I don't go shopping. I go buying. If I need something, I go and I buy it. I don't shop. And most men don't want to shop. We want to go to one place and get what we need and get out of there.
So here's the thing, ladies. You know that a man, like for instance, I know my husband is the exact same way. And it's been like that for the whole 25 years I've been knowing him. But here's the thing. So he didn't like rep like he liked to do the shopping thing when I met him. So he didn't have to break that because he never started that. But here's because some men will. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you know your man and you know he doesn't like to shop, so if all of a sudden you find out that he's doing a lot of shopping, those are some little clues there that you possibly could be hanging with someone else. Because I know this man does not like to shop. So how is he now going shopping or, you know, things like that? So there's just so many ways to help out with this situation, with cheating, especially, like I said, we love to do this topic on the broadcast because we are into self-help and we want to help people help themselves. So naturally, we're going to talk about this conversation since I see so many people who are in relationships and still struggling with a cheating, especially the men. I'm not saying women don't cheat. I know they do. I'm not foolish. But we happen to be talking about men right now. And I know a lot of women who are dealing with men who cheat. Mm-hmm. And they
know a lot of women who cheat. And when I say let them, you know, they don't do anything to prevent that because they figure this is the way it's always been. This is the way that it is. As long as he pays some bills and gives me what I need when I need it, everything will be all right. But it's just so funny, you know. I'm the type of person that I don't want just a 50% life. I want 100% life. And once you get a glimpse of the 100%, it's kind of hard to settle for the 50. I like what Bill Withers said in the documentary about him. He says, you know what, to get to wonderful, you have to go through all right. For many people, all right is all that they'll get. But when you get to wonderful, if you get a glimpse of wonderful, you want to move towards wonderful. And so what we're saying here is that we're trying to move people to wonderful, to that place where everything is the way it should be. But we have to get through all right first. But when you get to wonderful, when you get a glimpse of wonderful, a glimpse of how bright your future can be, you want to move towards that. And that's when you begin to move with purpose. And that's why you don't let distractions like cheating cheat you from the fullness and the greatness of your life. And that's what we're talking about. We want you to give the 100% full life that is waiting there for you. And you can't do it unless you understand that you got to change your mind. And once you change your mind, you have to change your circumstances. And once you find your purpose and your passion, you move on to the greatest life that you ever had and really the life that God has prepared you right from the beginning of your existence. I mean, I think life is about moving toward that great purpose, that wonderfulness that is provided for us by God. And we have so many ways to get through that because we have His Word, the Bible, And also, we have the example of faithful men and women, you know, and I think we need to look at that, too. I mean, your marriage has been going for a long time. There were some bumps and bruises, and I know about them, but you know what? You're going for that, and, you know, you ought to be admired, you and your husband, you know. So, again, I think people understand, you know, there are examples of the best that we can be out here, and we just need to get next to that.
Yes. So we only have like about a minute left, and we don't want to get cut off. But, again, more powerful stuff. Go out, get the book by Businessman. Tell us who got the book and how people can get it.
Well, basically, you know, it's you can get it through Amazon.com or even through the bookstore. Again, it's Death of a Cheating Man. Every woman must know what every woman must know about Men Astray, Maxwell Bilyon and Ray J. It's published by Simon and Schuster, so it's you know, very much out there, and it's published this year, you know, 2012. So, you know, it's available. And please, this is a book that you need to read and keep and refer to time and time again.
Yep, get that book, and there's some other books that are coming along. The Pike, get those books, and they need it. And there are some people who, for whatever reason, they didn't get a chance to tune into this show. They need to tune into this broadcast. This is a message that they hear because many of them are on their way down the road already to falling into those pits that the Bible speaks about it. And they really need to tune in because if they think it can't happen to them, there are so many examples of it happening to even the best of them, including the General Petraeuses of the world and the Bill Clintons, but even the guy next door. And so, okay, well, we have to go down from this place. But tomorrow is Friday, so we have a... next week we're going to start off and have a schedule all week of the, we know we got Tuesday's Book by Book Success Project. We have an image consultant who will be coming with us on Wednesdays now to talk about what she does as a speaker, as a coach, as a image consultant. And she's coming out of Arkansas. And so we're, you know, expanding in that sense. And so she'll pull in a whole different audience group of her people in Arkansas, Terry. So how about that?
Beautiful. That's great.
Isn't that awesome? She did contact me through Facebook, and I told her yes. And then we will do Mondays. I'll still be here Monday doing things for small businesses. And then definitely Friday will be our Friday will be giveaway Fridays. Starting next week, so we'll try to have something to give away on the broadcast each and every Friday. And we'll have people call in and see who will be the winner of what we have to give away. So we're very, very, very excited about that. We have some other wonderful people coming to the broadcast. I have a lawyer coming to the broadcast sometime in the future to talk about some of the things that are happening in our prison system and financial. So, with that being said, thank you again, Brother Terry, for that awesome, powerful morning and finishing up from Tuesday. I'm sure it'll come up again and again and again. But I can't wait to see the book you have for next week. Looking forward to that. It's always an awesome, awesome book. We do want to just take a moment to recognize the passing of one of the great motivational leaders and thought leaders and Zig Ziglar.
Yes, at 86 that he passed, yes.
Yep, he lived a nice, long life. He motivated and empowered and changed the mindsets of millions of people and will continue to do so because he left a very rich, deep legacy of information behind. So we're in a super information highway. You can connect with Brother Terry Benjamin right here on Facebook. He's an author, publisher, playwright, and many other things. You can also contact me on Facebook for any other webinars that I'm doing now. I'm doing webinars and online courses. So if you want to take an online course, if you want to go to one of the webinars, I did a webinar yesterday morning and how to self-publish your book. That business is exploding. People are getting their books written. It's easier than it's ever been. I don't think it'll be a long time before it gets easier than this.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a book that you want to get out, such as I did with Release Your Power and the other books I'm working on, Terry. I'm doing the e-books now. E-books